The Bible reading tonight is from John's Gospel, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, on page 1062 of the Black Bibles in the seats in front of you. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Good evening, 5 o'clock church. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a whole lot of questions. Does God exist? Are the scriptures reliable? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is Jesus the only way? And tonight, we're looking at, is Jesus really worth it? When you consider that question, you've got to think of two things. The cost and what I get out of it. So Michael, he thought, he was thirsty, I assume. The cost. Is Jesus really worth it? The cost and what do you get out of it? You weigh them up. If the cost is too high, no deal. If the price is right, sure. Awesome. If it's under the, what's on offer is awesome, you've got to take it. So let's get to the point. What's the cost of following Jesus? What's the cost? The quick answer of following Jesus is your life. Jesus wants your life. The whole of your life. Not just a little bit. Not just the bits you don't want. Not just the bits you don't need. He wants you, your whole life, all of you. In John 12, it talks about this. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's a huge call. Your life for what Jesus offers. Is Jesus really worth it? What's on offer? What's in it for you? What's in it for me? Is it really worth following Jesus? If you look at me, the answer is in John chapter 10, verse 10. It's going to come up on the screen. John 10, verse 10, the second part of it is in the Bible reading. It says this, I have come, Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What's on offer here is life. Life to the full. And that's an incredible claim, but what does it mean? What is life to the full? It could mean all sorts of different things to all sorts of different people. It really depends on what you value. To some of you, it might mean having lots of fun, living life, traveling the world, experiencing everything. To others, it might mean lots of money so you can buy everything you want. To others, it might mean a long life, living 120 years or so. Or it might be achieving something special or getting onto the top of your game. Like one of my heroes is Joey Chestnut. He is the world champion hot dog eater of the world. Last month, he was reconfirmed as the champion eater. He ate 68 dogs, that is the Frankfurt and the buns, in 10 minutes. 68. And by the way, I was looking at up his details. It's one gallon of milk in 41 seconds. That's 4.4 litres of milk. That's pretty serious stuff. He's my hero. What is life and life to the full? What is life and life to the full? But when you read the Bible, Jesus says life and life to the full is so much more than anything like that. It's so much more. So what is Jesus saying? What's on offer? The first thing is this. Jesus is offering life. He starts off by offering life as opposed to death. If you look with me at verse 8 from chapter 10 onwards, all whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. No one besides Jesus can offer life. Jesus calls anyone who claims to give life a thief and a robber because they only ever steal, kill and destroy. Now that's a really tall claim. It's a really tall claim. But we have to understand that Jesus is the only one who can give life because it's only God who can give life. You and I can't go around offering life to people because we don't have the means or the right to do so. And the Bible speaks again and again about how it was through Jesus, that we're given all our life and breath. The understanding, if we understand that, that means that no one else can offer life because we don't have the right or means. It's as if anyone else offering life is like me giving you that white Holden Commodore with roof racks at the front. As you're driving down, listening to that cool sound system, as you sort of feel those black leather seats and as you smoke those tyres out the church drive, the problem is that it was never mine in the first place to give it to you. That's the problem. I had no right to give it away. It wasn't mine. And when we're talking about life and death, if anyone besides Jesus offers life, they're lying and a fraud. If we follow anyone but Jesus, we'll end up in death and destruction because that's the only place they can lead. If I put it another way, if we choose not to follow Jesus, then we will not have life because we've effectively turned our back on God who gives life. So Jesus offers life. The second thing is that the life that Jesus offers is eternal life. We need eternal life because the Bible says that in lots of different ways, all of us reject God, and the Bible calls this sin. Let me give you a really simple illustration about sin in our world. If you reach into your pockets, everyone reach into the pockets right now, and grab your keys. Grab your keys. These keys are an illustration or a simple reminder that there is sin in the world around us. Let me explain to you. You have keys because you need to lock up your stuff. You need to lock up your stuff because there are people in this world who choose to reject God by stealing your property. So there are people and lots of people in this world who will steal your stuff because they choose to sin against God that way. So that's a reminder. that there is sin in this world. We all lock everything because we're afraid that sinful people will break in and steal your stuff. But you might be thinking there, you might be thinking, sure, that's good, that there is sin in the world, but what about me? What about me? You may not sin by stealing other people's stuff, but the Bible also says that we all sin in different ways against God. Maybe you lied today. Maybe you haven't treated God with the honour that he deserves. Maybe you idolise money and possessions. Or maybe you've done something really stupid and you really hope that the truth never comes out. The problem is that we all sin. And the problem is that we all reject and turn our backs on the God who gives life. And when we haven't honoured God as he deserves, the Bible says the fair punishment for our sin is death. Basically, it's separation from the God who gives life. And that's a big, big problem for all of us. For those who reject God, God rejects for eternity. To be completely separated from God forever is the most awful and devastating thing that could ever happen to you. To be left alone eternally, to be left with all that is evil and destructive, to be cut off from any hint of joy, any hint of fun, life, friends, or any hint of the God who gives you life. That is eternal death. Jesus offers us a way out of this horror. He does this by taking the punishment for us on the cross. He does this in order to offer us eternal life. And this he does and says in John chapter 10, verse 28. He says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Now again, that is a really tall claim. How can we be sure? How can we be sure? How can we even know that this can be true? And we need to be absolutely sure because we're dealing with life and death and what happens after that. Can I just say, the Bible makes it very clear that we can be certain because Jesus has already died, yes, but he has already risen again from death. As we heard just 2 weeks back, we can be very certain that Jesus has risen from the dead. You can check the podcast on the website. Listen to it again. Be assured, be confirmed that the Bible is clear and historically clear that Jesus rose from the dead to defeat death. The fact that Jesus has risen from the dead means that life beyond physical death exists. And Jesus promises that he will lead us there if we follow him. So Jesus offers us eternal life. And you know what? There's even more than that. The third thing is this. Jesus not only offers eternal life, he also offers his followers life to the full. Now, it's not just life for a very long, 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 long time for all eternity. That's not just all. It's also talking about life to the full. The good life, I suppose. Or life to the max. Or life fulfilled. I'm not sure what's going through your head at the moment when I talk about life to the full. It's actually quite hard to understand. What Jesus does here is he gives us a word picture to help us understand a bit more. But unfortunately, it's a picture of a first century Middle Eastern shepherd looking after his sheep. And I haven't met many shepherds recently. But as you're reading this part of the Bible, as you're with me, reading with me and listening now, you've got to imagine a man who owns a flock of sheep. And as you imagine with me, imagine he's a shepherd who looks after every need of his flock. So he leads them to luscious green pastures for a feel. Then he leads them to quiet waters for a drink. And then when the day is hot, he takes them down to a leafy, cool place for rest. You've got to imagine that this is the first century sheep equivalent of a 5-star hotel. That's what this is. The sheep are so well looked after that they can enjoy life without a single worry. They can enjoy life because they know that they're safe in the hands of the shepherd, completely protected from anything and everything that could harm them. We've got to remember that the shepherd in the first century wasn't the weedy, nerdy guy. He wasn't the guy who ends up being the chief librarian or anything like that. He was a guy that fought the wolves. He was a guy that fought the lions and the poachers to protect his sheep, if he was the good shepherd, that is. But in John chapter 10, verse 11 onwards, Jesus describes himself as this good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns a sheep. That man runs away because he's a hired man, hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's a beautiful picture. Jesus loves his sheep, he cares for them, and he has an intimate relationship with them. So much so that in verse 3, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls them out by their names. He loves them so much to the point that he lays down his life for them. Now this is how Jesus describes life to the full. It's lovely and comforting. But what does it look like in real life? What does it look like for you and for me today, right here now? Jesus is offering to be your shepherd. And he asks you to trust and follow him. Jesus promises to look after you. He promises to protect you, provide for you, care for you, and most importantly, he's laid down his life for you on that cross so that you can have life. Although we've rejected God, although we turned our back on him by sinning, we are forgiven and given and led out to green pastures by Jesus if we choose to follow him. The Bible says that the key to having life to the full is having a genuine relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, the one who gives us life. It's like when I think about my little boys, Alex and Aiden. They're little toddlers. Just imagine exact replicas of me, but smaller. That's my kids. For them, full life is this. When they wake up in the morning, I'm there. It means that when they're afraid or lonely, I'm there. It means when they do something stupid or wrong, I'm there to forgive them and pick up the pieces. Life of the full for them means that they're loved. They're cared for no matter what. And it means that they're secure in a relationship no matter what they do or what they become or how far they end up from me. To live life to the full is to know that we're loved and cared for by a Heavenly Father. Even though we don't think so, we are secure in his love. And when I think about my boys again, I sometimes give up everything just to make sure they get the best deal. Let me give you an example. Over the last 3 years, this has never happened before, but over the last 3 years, do you know how many times I've got poo on my hands? You know, for you guys, young guys, poo on your hands is sort of like peanut butter, but stinks. It's all that, okay? And I've actually gone through and done some serious research on this. I actually won't get any benefit out of getting poo on my hands. I don't get paid for it. I don't like it. But I do what I need to do. I give up what I need to give up because I love my kids and I do what I need to do so they can get the best deal. Jesus says, if you, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? To live life to the full is to know that we're loved by God, cared by God. And even though we're going through the toughest of times, we can rest assured knowing that he has our best interests at heart. He's not going to hold back on the little things when he didn't hold back on the big thing. That is sending his son to die for you. God loves us so much that he gave us his own son so that we can have a relationship with him, life to the full. Now, does it mean that because if I follow Jesus, everything's going to be great? Everything's going to be rosy? I wish it was. I'd love to say yes. But to be honest, Jesus also promises that there will be tough times. There will be guys who try to break into the flock. There will be wolves. There will be poachers. There will be tough times out in that pasture field. But we need to thank God for abundant provision when things are going well. But when things are the pits, when tragedy strikes, when the breath of that black dog breathes down your neck, when the tentacles of disease wrap themselves around your body, you are not alone. Listen to what Christians have been reading for the last few thousand years, or God's people have been reading for 3,500 years. In Psalm 23, the writer writes this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When things aren't going so well, Jesus is with us and he will comfort us. He's been there. He's suffered and died a horrible death. And although horrible things can happen to God's people, no one, nothing can snatch us from God's hands. Our future is safe and secured. So much so that Jesus promises us and calls us and says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Are you tired? Are you burdened by the world? Do the worries of life drag you down? Jesus is offering you rest and offering to lead you out to green pastures. We will never be separated from God. In a world that is marred by sin, where hopes are dashed, we're disappointed, where the disease and death, Jesus is offering us life to the full. At the end of the Bible, there's a picture of what this looks like in heaven. God will be with them in heaven. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. With Jesus, it's all about life. With Jesus, he's offering you life, eternal life, and life to the full. Is it worth it? Deal or no deal? There's plenty of room at Jesus' cross for you. And he promises that you can come as you are. No matter what you've done, no matter what you become, there is a free offer for you and a place for you with Jesus. And tonight's the night to make a stand. A decision needs to be made if you haven't made one. Do it tonight, because there are no guarantees about tomorrow. None at all. The most important decision you'll ever make is about Jesus. Will you accept Jesus' offer of life, eternal life, and life to the full? Choose well. Choose well.